This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Real OG, Aqib Talib, and Michael Crabtree with the chain snatching. And you get that again in the beginning of this game. What a bizarre football game. The game itself wasn't the most entertaining, but boy, the other stuff was. And yeah, both these guys ejected in a fight. And Crabtree gets his chain snatched again by Talib in that fight. And then his helmet is off. And then they're fighting each other, and there's punches being connected. I mean, I tell you, those guys, I know that some people complain, it's such a bad look, whatever, and like I understand that take. It's hard for me to argue against it.
It's not a bad look in hockey when they do it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is more legal there. You just go in the penalty box. You're not going to get ejected. So I understand that part of it, because now you don't have one of your best corners and your best wide receiver, because he has been better than Cooper Crabtree. That's not good from that perspective. But you know what? Since it's neither one of those teams are teams I root for, I love it. I love seeing those two go after it, especially with Talib and his history, because I know how he is. Like, I mean, this guy, he just doesn't have any respect for Crabtree. He's what do you call him? He's a sucker ass sucker, right? He doesn't have any respect for him.
They're both from the Dallas area.
Right. And it's like, listen, sucker ass sucker, this is the way it's going to go. Like, I'm going to take your chain again because you're a buster. And this is the deal, right? I mean, this is like what's going on here.
It was like, Devo, what you got on my 40? I mean, that's my man chain a second time. It was unbelievable, unreal. And Crabtree, somehow you got to keep your helmet on. And I didn't think he didn't take it off intentionally. The Broncos, who came to get in on the action, they snatched it off. And where were his teammates when all this was going on? It took them forever to get over there to help Crabtree. If this had been the old Raiders, they'd still be fighting. I mean, that was ridiculous. Where were his teammates? And then when they're escorting Aqib Talib off the field, you have to go past the Raiders bench to get into the dressing room, the locker room. But if this were the old Raiders, they would be whipping his ass the minute he set foot on their sideline. Where were they? I'd be upset if I were Crabtree. I'd be highly upset with my teammates.
I mean, it's tough because you don't want to get yourself ejected. You're already getting those players ejected. But once you get in that situation, like, all bets are off, right?
Right.
I mean, you would think that all bets are off. I mean, it looks like the Lonzo Ball situation. Now, we do have Vance Joseph on this, talking about the brawl and how, you know, stuff like this just shouldn't be happening.
Right now, I'm dealing with the result of what happened. You know, both teams lost two of their best players. It's nonsense. It's silly. You know, I don't know what exactly happened, but I know it can't happen. You know, to our football team especially.
Well, he's right. You lose two of your best players, and I understand that. But Vance Joseph should be more concerned with his starting quarterback sitting on the sideline crying. I mean, yeah. That would be a bigger problem. He should have been up fighting, too, instead of sitting over there whining like a little baby, 9 of 50 for 40 yards, no points to speak of, giving up sack after sack. He couldn't hit a bull in the backside with a palm full of rice the entire damn game. And then you're over crying? Really?
I know. That's the other part of this that was just remarkable. So I'm looking up at Paxton Lynch on the sideline before the game, and I've seen him before. And when I've seen him before, I have the same reaction. The way he looks makes me think he can't be successful.
He looks like Zorro or somebody. He should have a sword.
I mean, there's just something. Right. Someone did a side-by-side of him in the old Buccaneers logo.
Yes.
With the guy had I mean, it's like, what in the hell is this guy?
He's a swashbuckler.
Yeah, right. He's a swashbuckler. And he's got his hair up in a weird way. And like his, I don't know, the weird goatee. I'm like, this guy can't be any good. And then, so he ends up getting hurt. He's horrible before he gets hurt. And then he's on the sideline on the bench just bawling his eyes out over what happened. And this is fresh off of John Elway calling his team soft. So you've got guys on the defense that are saying, you got to be nuts. We're not soft. And then one of those guys gets in a fight and gets ejected. And then the freshly picked quarterback, well, not freshly, but he's been around a little bit. You know, this quarterback that John Elway drafted that he thought eventually he'd be given the keys to the franchise to, this guy is you want to talk about soft. I mean, he cries. He sucks. He gets hurt. he looks like he's something out of Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, what the hell? What a mess this team is. Boy, I tell you, it's like, would you take that Super Bowl and then know that this mess was coming? Because I don't know. Because the mess that's here right now with the Broncos is just out of hand.
No, I'm with you, man. This is a dumpster fire currently, and you have the big brawl there, and then you have your quarterback crying. Could it get any worse? And that's on the heels of your owner or your head of football operations saying that you're a bunch of softies. So that's what happens when you have crazy seasons like this, and you're a team that with higher expectations, and everybody focuses on you. You're a couple years removed from a Super Bowl championship, and now all this stuff is illuminated because of who you are and because it's John Elway, and he's drafted these cats, and he's brought in certain people from free agency. I mean, it's just amazing. You had one of their DBs who was cut the other day because he showed up late to a meeting. I mean, just all types of things befall you when you're having a season like this.
Yeah, it is. It is a bad situation now for them. And John Elway, who was someone that very rarely can succeed both on the field at a high level and then in the front office at a high level, he did so. But you know, now he's feeling the other side of things. I mean, I think that there's no doubt that he's feeling the negativity of the fans about the job that he's done in that front office, and that they are just totally out of it. And we'll see about the Raiders. I don't know. I still don't think that they're good enough. We'll see if this – I mean, the defensive coordinator change, can you even say that it worked because Paxton Lynch was so bad and there was a couple of touchdowns there that they gave up late? I don't know.
Yeah, you put Trevor Siemian in, and the offense looks much, much better. Of course, you're in two-minute offense at that point, and you're going up against more of a defense that wants to bend, don't break. And so Siemian looked fine. Of course, he looked more comfortable in the ball game. But they have so many problems now defensively, not being able to stop the Raiders. And that huge pass, you know, they're down 7. They give up that huge pass to Cordarrelle Patterson there's just a heave and ho, and Patterson comes down with it, and then no one wanted to tackle the man. So many problems for the Broncos. This is a lost year for them. Maybe they have to thrust Paxton Lynch back into the starting role once he's healthy and he's gotten over the sobbing, and see if he is going to be the future, because right now he doesn't look the part. And you see all these younger quarterbacks, like Carson Wentz. You see Jared Goff with the Rams, and how well they're playing, and you're sitting there with a guy who's boohooing on the sideline.
Who do you think's going to win that AFC West?
I like the way the Chargers are playing. I hated that Anthony Lynn had to go back home. He's from the Dallas area and beat up on my Cowboys, and he was probably a Cowboys fan growing up as well. But the way they're balling right now, and they have a solid signal caller in Phillip Rivers and the running game, and their defense is flying around and causing turnovers, I'm going to say it's going to be between the Chargers and the Chiefs.
Well, did they start 0-3 or 0-4, the Chargers?
0-4. 0-4, yeah, and then they lost all those games fairly close.
Yeah, and yeah, that's right. I know with the young Wei Koo with a couple opportunities.
Young Ho had to get out of here, man.
Yeah, right. He did. Look, it was the right move, clearly. Yeah, I mean, maybe the Chiefs figure it out, and maybe Andy Reid makes those adjustments we were talking about, because he can't do the same stuff offensively that he was doing because it's not working any longer. And again, the defense isn't good enough to carry him. But right now, the Chiefs are just total disaster. So I would say I'd agree with you. I mean, that's the team that's playing the best. And Keenan Allen, by the way, is back to being an elite wide receiver.
He's
had that year off with the ACL last year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Came back, was an impact player first couple of weeks. He's now a franchise-type wide receiver once again, which what he was prior to him getting hurt. I mean, the 2015 season, the guy was incredible. You know, 2016 ends up getting hurt. Now he's back in 2017. And with Melvin Gordon, you've got both tight pass-catching tight ends in Gates and Henry. You've got Keenan Allen to go with Williams and Travis Benjamin, and then Rivers slinging it around, and that defense with that pass rush we've talked so much about. And this, we both liked the Chargers in the beginning of the year, and then we got off to such a terrible start, and we didn't say much about it. But, I mean, they could very easily end up winning that AFC West.
The defense is tremendous with those bookends, Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, and what, you know, they're turning their foes over. That's the key. And now they're winning those close ball games. So if they can keep that churning out and they can stay healthy, I think they'll be fine.
And how about the Minnesota Vikings on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. And I really, I've been nervous about all these games naturally, but I really thought that this was one that they'd take a step back in. Thanksgiving, short week. They just beat the Rams. It's a big deal for Detroit. Detroit needs the game to stay in the race. I mean, really desperately needed to win that game. And the Vikings come out again. They're just so unbelievably impressive. And it's just that offense is just... they're just different. Like, they can do it. I don't know how the hell they're doing it, but they can. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that their offensive line that was totally retooled has worked. I mean, that retooling has absolutely worked. And Case Keenum is, like, dare I say, you know, a legitimate everyday starter in the NFL right now. And I know that could change.
Leave him alone, man.
I mean, I know that could change, but – and he had an unbelievable college career, which doesn't mean much. But I'm now thinking back to that and thinking, well, maybe he finally found his stride here in the NFL. And Adam Thielen continues to ball, and Stephon Diggs and Kyle Rudolph. And it's just, I mean, they're just good. I mean, it's just
Thank
so
you.
Hard. It's just so hard to believe. I knew the defense would be there, but the fact that the offense has these pieces and they're playing as well as they are, I mean, they're as good as anybody in football.
I agree. The defense is dynamite, but Case Keenum, there should be no more questioning whether or not he's your starter going forward. The guy is a magician out there, getting away from pressure time and time again, and he did it Thanksgiving Day, and finding receivers down the field, making big-time throws when they need it most to keep a drive going, whether it's a touchdown pass. I mean, he's just phenomenal. He threw one to the tight end. It was just incredible. Just dropped it in there. He can make all those throws. He's getting a real opportunity now to lead this football team, and he's doing just that. I like the play, the offensive play calling, and you know, it's a lot of movement, getting your playmakers involved, and having Stephon Diggs back healthy is definitely a big plus. So this team, they look the part. And if they can continue to play defense the way they can and help Everson Griffin name his new baby, you know, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I know. I bet you his wife was upset that when he said, I just had a baby. She's like, you just see her going, excuse me? But that's what
I helped make a baby. Yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, it would be pretty ironic, though, that the history of the Minnesota Vikings, and especially the recent history with all the offensive superstars that they had in that Dennis Green era, you know, whether it be that year that Cunningham had, or you know, even before that, and you know, Warren Moon was there, and then Dante Culpepper was there, and Randy Moss and Chris Carter and Jake Reed and Robert Smith, and you know, all those guys that they had, that they would go and have one of their best seasons with Case Keenum, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. Like, these guys were not big-name players. You know, Latavius Murray, Jerick McKinnon, and they're playing like it. I mean, they're playing like big-time offensive players consistently every single week. Now, your team, on the other hand, is totally falling apart offensively. And I'd had some major concerns. I'm like, you know me. I've been a Dak Prescott supporter. I've been... You know, really, any time that people have tried to knock him because he's got a great running game and a great offensive line, it's said, give me a break. The guy's been playing phenomenally. But they look lost. He looks lost. I mean, I don't know. The offensive line, I think, is a little bit overrated this year. But, I mean, I don't know how you can take a running back out of that mix and be this bad after that. It's maybe a little bit of regression. But this bad, it's really shocking to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. And everyone's pointing to the absence of Ezekiel Elliott, and I don't see that being the biggest problem. Yes, he's a key part to that offense, but you still have a lot of the other players that are there, and we are both in accord when it comes to Dez Bryant. He's not a guy who's going to blow the top off of a defense, so he doesn't really bring a ton of fear into that defensive room. Dak Prescott, I look at how Russell Wilson plays without an offensive line really to speak of and without a running game, and yet he's still successful. He moves around. They move him around quite a bit. And you got quick throws. Now, maybe he has better receivers to work with. I'm not so sure. But the Cowboys need to adopt whatever the Seahawks are doing and use Prescott in the same manner. Get the ball out of his hand right now. I would give the love Jason Witten a remarkable career, but I'm giving Jimmy Graham the edge over him right now. So maybe he's definitely more of a threat than Jason Witten is. And opposing teams feel like we can just cover him with a tight end, with a linebacker. So get the ball out of Prescott's hand, roll him out a little bit more than you have been, and you got to find new wrinkles to make him comfortable. He's pretty good throwing on the run usually. He wasn't so much versus the Chargers. But, yeah, I'm with you. They look lost. They look extremely lost. I didn't expect them to win that ball game. Be surprised if they win another one. But they have to come up with some wrinkles on the offensive side of the ball. And defensively, woeful. They can't cover anybody. They're just bad on that side of the ball. I know Sean Lee is not there. They need a bona fide run stuffer, and they don't have that guy right now. So you like what they have on the edges, especially with DeMarcus Lawrence, the year he's having. But give me a big body in the middle of that defense, someone who can stop the damn run. People are running on them. They're passing on them. They're doing whatever the hell they want to do on them.
Yeah, and for people that are enjoying this because Jerry Jones is upset that his team is crumbling and say, this is what you get, Jerry, for doing all the stuff you've been doing. Remember, if you don't take Jerry Jones' side in this fight that he's fighting, then you're taking Roger Goodell and the other pompous owner's side. So like, don't be thinking, oh, Jerry, this is what happens, Jerry, when you challenge stuff and you're being Jerry Jones. Like the other side of that argument is there's not good people there either. So, I mean, it's amazing to me how that Roger Goodell could be the most hated person in sports, but yet Jerry Jones somehow trumps that. I mean, I've seen so much, like, rub it in the face of Jerry Jones stuff after the Cowboys played so poorly on Thanksgiving. It's like, come on, will you get a grip on yourself? I mean, everybody's evil. All right, coming up next, we've got a bogus update. And Barrett Salee joins us to talk some college football. Keep it right here.
This is L.A. Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn, and you're listening to G.O. and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Bogish, give us an update, will you?
Ben Roethlisberger threw four touchdown passes on Sunday Night Football. Two of them went to Antonio Brown, but their most important connection not in the end zone.
Snap comes in chest high. Pressure comes late. Wings it to the left sideline for Antonio Brown, who makes the catch. Did he make it inbounds? The officials are going to talk. They're conferring, and it's a catch!
After Brown's 10th and final catch, Chris Boswell did this.
Good snap. Good hold. The kick on the way for Boswell. It is up, and it is good! The Pittsburgh Steelers win it! 31-28.
Kevin Kugler, Westwood won. The Steelers sidestepping the Packers in Pittsburgh on that 53-yard boot. The Steelers have won six straight, remain even with the Patriots atop the AFC. Both are 9-2 after New England handled Miami in the afternoon 35-17. The Eagles steamrolled the Bears 31-3 for their ninth straight victory. But the Saints' eight-game run ended in L.A. The Rams a 26-20 win as Jared Goff threw for 354 and two scores. His head coach, Sean McVay.
You guys are starting to see just Jared continue to mature week in and week out, making good decisions. A lot of tough looks that they do present. You know, Coach Allen mixes it up. They caught us with a couple blitz looks right there, but he stayed tough.
The Rams have won 5 of 6. They're 8-3 overall, one game ahead of the Seahawks atop the NFC West. Seattle a 24-13 win in San Francisco. The Jaguars' four-game winning streak ending in Arizona 27-24 on Phil Dawson's career-long 57-yard field goal with 1 second left. The Browns are 0-11 after a 30-16 loss in Cincinnati. And the Titans got their first ever win at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy 2016. Tennessee has reportedly backed out of an agreement to hire Greg Schiano as head coach after fans and media went nuts when news of the hire broke because Schiano allegedly ignored Jerry Sandusky's evil while Schiano was a Penn State assistant. Florida's new head coach, officially, it's former offensive coordinator Dan Mullen. He was the Mississippi State head coach the last 6 seasons. Texas A&M firing Kevin Sumlin. Arizona State firing Todd Graham. In the old motion bracket of the PK-80, Duke erased a 17-point hole with 10 to play to beat Florida 87-84 for the crown. 30 points and 15 rebounds for Marvin Bagley III. Michigan State smothered North Carolina 63-45 to win the victory bracket. Those are the second fewest points the Heels have scored under Roy Williams. And number 16, Texas A&M, a 75-59 winner at 10th-ranked USC.
You're cruising for a bruise.
Brooklyn, a 98-88 win in Memphis. The Grizzlies have dropped 8 straight, and the Texas Rangers reportedly closed to a one-year deal plus an option for 2019 with right-hander Doug Fister at a 4.88 ERA over 15 starts and 3 relief appearances for the Red Sox last season.
Before we get to Mr. Salih, can I give one hook 'em horns to Phil Dawson? 42-year-old, 57-yard game-winning field
goal. Was he your kicker when you were there?
No.
Okay. Not bad.
I've got him beat by a few years.
Yeah, 8, to be exact.
Oh, thank you for your math. Not 8 yet, punk.
Yeah, we're close enough.
Oh, shut up.
7+. All right, joining us right now, Barrett Salih of CBS Sports, college football writer and analyst. Barrett, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good, guys. What's going on?
Oh, a lot.
Mob rule.
Yeah, right. Jeez. All right, so what was your takeaway from everything that happened with Tennessee and Greg Schiano yesterday?
Well, that John Curry is the most tone-deaf athletic director on the planet, and he should not be employed there. That was to just let's put aside the Jerry Sandusky stuff and the connection to Greg Schiano. Why on earth is Greg Schiano a good coach for Tennessee from a pure football perspective? Mm-hmm. He's not. It doesn't make any sense. He is very, very similar to Butch Jones from a personality standpoint, which is one of the primary reasons Butch Jones got fired. He has, I think, his success at Rutgers was a little bit overinflated due to the situation he was in and the conference at that time. It doesn't make any sense to hire him from a pure football perspective. And then you throw in, you know, the potential, you know, connection to Jerry Sandusky. Why on earth would you think that that's a good idea if you're athletics director John Curry? Because Schiano, I don't think people know, he's got a beef with Peyton Manning. They do not get along at all. He did not consult with Philip Fulmer, which you need to do. He didn't consult with anybody. And to let this happen and to go down this way, and to have a signed, reportedly signed memorandum of understanding for him to be the coach, without having, you know, tested the water, so to speak. It's just, it's mind-boggling. It speaks to the lack of proper leadership throughout the entire Tennessee athletics department, and that goes all the way to the top, to the top boosters, the Haslams, who just so happen to be involved with the Cleveland Browns, which should tell you something about their acting.
Well, Curry, that was a huge misstep, not involving Phil Fulmer into the process. And I just talked to Coach Fulmer about a week and a half ago, and he didn't say, well, I hope to be privy to what happens, but if they have any questions, I would answer them during this search. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%. This was purely football. From a purely football perspective, no way Greg Schiano should have been on your list. No way whatsoever. And so you have what they had there, Mob Rule, as such. Now, T. Martin, why isn't he on their list? Why aren't they calling one of their own?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think the one thing in this specific instance with T. Martin is that he doesn't have any head coaching experience. And while that may not necessarily mean he's going to be a bad coach, I think Tennessee's a little spooked, and a lot of schools in the SEC, I think, are spooked by with coaches who do not have major college experience.
Dan Mullen didn't have it when he went to Mississippi State.
Dan Mullen did not, but that's the exception. But you look at some of the guys who had not had Power 5 jobs at the SEC when they got jobs. Will Muschamp failed at Florida. Now he's doing a great job because he had that experience under his belt. Jim McElwain, the biggest problem with him was that he didn't know how to operate a major college football program. Butch Jones, the same thing. Kevin Sumlin, I think the same thing early on. Now, I think Kevin Sumlin got it, but I think it was too little too late, and obviously, you know, he got fired. So I think there are a lot of schools that are spooked by that. That's not a reason to cross T. Martin off your list, because I think T. Martin would be a fantastic coach. And, you know, from an offensive perspective, he's great. And then from a recruiting perspective, he's an ace recruiter. And he's from the Mobile area, which is a talent-rich area, which Tennessee doesn't necessarily get into a lot. But with him, maybe you can. So I'm with you. I think he should be included. I understand why they're a little spooked because of all that's gone on, especially at Tennessee. But T. Martin should get a job this offseason somewhere as a head coach, whether that be at South Alabama or one of these other Sun Belt schools or wherever. He should be a head coach next year, no doubt.
Geo and Jones and Barrett Salee, CBS Sports College football writer and analyst. You talk about the university there and the hiring process being spooked about guys who don't have head coaching experience. How about these coaches that are available that might be spooked about the situation in Tennessee where if they aren't received well, that they might get thrown out of there by a mob? Do you think that this whole thing looks so poorly for Tennessee that there's going to be guys that are running away potentially from this opportunity?
Well, I don't think the mob really has anything to do with it. I think the mob was justified. I think that the rising up against Greg Schiano was a good move by Tennessee fans. They got what they needed. They did a good job voicing their displeasure for a hire that was inexplicable.
They didn't do a good job of painting the covered-up child rape at Penn State on a rock. I mean, they definitely got what they wanted, but I think that they used that Penn State thing a little bit too much to ruin this guy's reputation. If that's the thing that you said they needed to do to get it done and that was the most important thing, you know, maybe I could buy that. But I thought that was way over the top, using that to be the number one outcry to not have Schiano be the coach.
Well, the Tennessee fans that I've talked to, most of them understand that it was really more about football than anything else. Now, they used that for sure. And look, I mean, I'm not going to even say here nor there, you know, what Schiano did or didn't know about the whole Jerry Sandusky thing, but being connected to that is bad regardless. And I think the majority of Tennessee fans that I've talked to, and I even voted this out when his name was mentioned a week ago, I didn't even think about the connection to Jerry Sandusky. I don't like it from a football perspective. And I think most Tennessee fans do. Now, they may have gone a little overboard with the specifics of the protest, but, The mob rule was justified because they're sick of inept leadership, and that's the problem. The mob is not the problem. The problem is the fact that that John Curry has continued a long trend of just complete ineptitude from that athletics department. So for other coaches that would be considered, that I think is the problem, because Tennessee went from a situation where John Curry got hired, you know, about a year ago or announced about a year ago. They fire Butch Jones. You're basically at a clean slate, right? Like, so you've got this basically clean slate to come in and stabilize an unstable athletics department. And you thought you had that on Friday. And by Sunday night, it was more unstable than it's ever been. And so I think that's the problem. I think coaches are going to look at the situation and say, do I really want to get into that mess with that leadership, with that department, based on how quickly this thing turned? And I think a lot of coaches would say, no, they don't. That's the problem, is John Curry has damaged that athletic department to a point where it's more unstable than any in the SEC right now, maybe outside of Ole Miss.
And which is interesting, and what compounds the situation, the fact that he had been at Tennessee previously prior to going to Kansas State. Right. He had been there. He knows the lay of the land. He knows how it works. And yet he comes and steps in it big time with this Greg Schiano mess. So it's just amazing that it's just a calamity of errors by this guy who's supposed to be leading this football program. Who do you think leads Arkansas next? I know Mike Norvell's there at Memphis. They've had a pretty good year. They're going to be playing UCF in a rematch. UCF thoroughly whipped them earlier in the year back in September. I think it was 40-13 in that bowl game. But Norvell is a hot name now because of what he was able to do there at Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, I actually talked to some folks that are pretty in tune with the boosters out there yesterday. And, I mean, Gus Malzahn was never, ever really a realistic candidate. They shot their shot. They thought they could shoot their shot, but obviously he's not going to leave Auburn based on where Auburn is right now. They've, I think, moved on from that and really moved on from that even before the Iron Bowl. I think Mike Norvell, I've talked to some folks, Mike Norvell is certainly high on their list. He played at Central Arkansas. He's coached at Tulsa, which is right across the border from Fayetteville, about 45 minutes away. He knows the lay of the land. He can spark the offense, and I think that's the biggest thing, is they understand that Brett Bielema basically stripped them of their identity. Their identity was uniqueness, and Mike Norvell can bring that. But the name I've heard more than anything else the last 24 hours or so is Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables, because look at what he's done at Clemson. He's paired his defense top 10 nationally almost every single year with a high-octane offense. He's done that successfully, and if they can get Brent Venables as a head coach with a good offensive coordinator who understands what Arkansas needs to be, then I think they're very high on him. And this is a guy who met a lot of these Arkansas boosters last year when he won the Broyles Award, which is based in Little Rock, given to the top assistant coach in the country. So that's the name that I've heard the last 24 hours or so more than anybody. And I think they're sort of waiting it out. I don't necessarily think that they're very comfortable with how this search is going, because there was supposed to be a committee. They thought they'd have a group. They have an interim AD, and no one really knows who's leading anything at this point. But I think they're starting to coalesce, so to speak, around Brent Venables, Mike Norvell, and maybe a couple other guys, Chad Morris and a few others, that they feel like they have a legitimate shot at.
Why or why not will this Chip Kelly-UCLA marriage work?
Well, I think it will work. I think the one hiccup, and it will work because Chip's offensive mind is obviously what UCLA needs. He knows how to organize a program, which Jim Mora doesn't. And so I think from a structure standpoint, he'll bring discipline within that building, and that's something they desperately need. And Chip Kelly, I think, very quietly towards the end of his Oregon tenure, recognized the need to win the line of scrimmage more so than maybe he did early in his Oregon career, even when he was a coordinator, when they were just off the nest. So that'll play well in L.A. when you've got basically a melting pot of great athletes to choose from that are of all shapes and sizes and styles. So, you know, you can basically just open your doors and have guys that can fit that mold come in. So that's why I think it will work. Why it won't work, it's UCLA. And that's a really bad analysis. I understand that. But UCLA always finds a way to screw it up. They're the king of just okay. And I have any explanation for it. But something always seems to happen with that program.
Matt Luke at Ole Miss. This was a no-brainer because they know the hammer is about to hit them over the head as far as NCAA sanctions. They're at Ole Miss. They've already self-imposed some. But Matt Luke, that made sense for him to just to continue to steer this ship, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the more, you know, it's funny, the last couple of weeks, you know, we haven't really heard much about the Ole Miss search at all. And I think that's because they do fear and feel that the NCAA is going to come down pretty harsh on them. And if that's the case, then, yeah, Matt Luke's the guy. I mean, look, Ole Miss was actually a really fun football team the last month of the season. They were entertaining. They've got some decent players that are going to stick around, assuming they don't, have the ability to transfer elsewhere. And having a guy like Matt Luke who's an Ole Miss lifer, a guy who's married to the program, and saying, hey, look, dude, we're going to give you a long time to get your bearings and make this thing work. I think that's the right move. It's essentially what Ohio State could have done had Urban Meyer not fallen into their lap, because Luke Fickell was not ready to be a head coach in 2011 when he was there at Ohio State as a head coach. They recognized that. He went back to being an assistant. They got Urban Meyer. But Luke Fickell became a good head coach and obviously got the Cincinnati job last year. Now, it didn't go well at Cincinnati, but he earned that job, right? So I think they feel like Matt Luke could sort of follow that same path. He wasn't ready as a head coach this year. He did a pretty good job, and he showed promise. And if he showed promise with this team, then maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the road, he becomes a complete head coach, and you get the players, you get through probation, and you become a competitive football team again. I think that's what they're looking at, and I think that's the right way to approach this, knowing that you're probably not going to be relevant for a few years anyway.
Hey, Barrett, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.
Barrett Salee, CBS Sports college football writer and
analyst. All right, thanks,
analyst.
Guys.
You can. Yeah, you got out of there real quick.
Thank you, guys. Was that a sneeze, or what was that when he was talking? Did he sneeze while talking, or something drop? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I think it was a laugh.
Oh, it was a laugh. Oh.
It was an ill-placed laugh, I think is what it was.
Oh.
He did a nice job.
Oh, he was great. I was just wondering what that noise was.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's all, dog.
Chuckle.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you, man.
Okay. See ya. Stop. All right. We're coming right back.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
He is Jones on the phones, and he gets information just sent to him at all times of the day because he's that popular in the college football world, and apparently that just happened again, Brian?
Yeah, quit texting me, damn it!
Jones on the phones.
Okay, don't stop texting me. SMU may be losing their head coach because Chad Morris, who's been there now for 3 seasons, 13-22 in those seasons, is on the top of the list for Mississippi State, replacing Dan Mullen.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
you said 13-2. 13-22.
Yes.
13-22.
Yeah. Yeah. So Chad right. Morris and you heard Barrett Salee mention that he may be drawing some attention from Arkansas as well. And Mississippi State, their AD John Cohen really likes Chad Morris, and the type of offense he runs there at SMU, it's conducive to what they've been doing there at Mississippi State. So Chad Morris, hot name, and he was hot for the Baylor job a season ago. Many thought he would get that. That didn't come to fruition. They went with Matt Rhule. So now he is back in focus for a number of these openings.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Twitter, at Goat78. Should Crabtree and Tlaib serve suspensions? When it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need to keep your vehicle in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. From choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Speaking of fighting shape.
Yeah, that was apropos.
Right, Crabtree and Tlaib. No, because they were out for the majority of that football game, and I think that's the way that it works. If a guy gets thrown out in the fourth quarter of a game, late fourth quarter, and then maybe the next week he's out for a game with a suspension. But if I see a couple players get thrown out early in a game, I do not have them serve a suspension the next week.
Yeah, I'm with you. There was a history there, and I know it's looked down upon when those things happen, and I don't see it the same way I used to, and especially when the guys have a history like that. I expected that to occur, to tell you the truth. And so you knew they were going to be in front of each other, cornerback and a wide receiver, and you get your chain snatched again, you're going to be angry about it. So they had what they had there. I still can't believe those Raiders players took them so long to come to the defense of Crabtree. That's just unacceptable.
We've talked a ton about college football coaching news, and a name that we spent a lot of time on Wednesday that we didn't talk about today because there's been so much other stuff, is Jim Harbaugh, and they end up, it was a 12-point spread, they end up losing by 11 in that game after having a 14-0 lead. That was a cough, by the way, just so you know. It was not it was not a sneeze. It was not a laugh. It was a cough. And everybody's looking to have the referendum on Jim Harbaugh, like I thought was going to happen. I thought it was a referendum game for him. Now, I don't believe that there's going to be any movement from the Michigan brass on Harbaugh at this point. That, to me, is way – it's a crazy thought at this juncture. But this Jay Glazer report, that's interesting to me, where it says that NFL teams hope they can get Harbaugh out of Michigan, meaning that, you know, maybe Harbaugh says, all right, this wasn't for me like I expected it to be, and there, if there's an NFL job out there that's good, like maybe I'll go, and maybe they won't be as upset if I go now because – this thing hasn't worked out the way I expected it to in year three. I still think the most likely situation is he goes back in year four and, you know, has a better year. I do think that that is the most likely situation. But it is interesting to me that there's NFL guys out there sniffing around that situation going, I wonder if Jim Harbaugh is ready to come back to the old NFL.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that there would be interest from the NFL. He had a ton of success in the NFL. He did the last year there, and he's a quirky dude, man. And it's obvious he rubbed some people the wrong way in that San Francisco locker room. And we were just mentioning Crabtree. He was one of those guys. He was sharing information about his feelings about Harbaugh to a certain few people in the media, and they were then sharing it with all of us. So he is really quirky, and maybe that goes over much, much better at the collegiate ranks than it does at the pro ranks. But that being said, he was on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl, second or third year at the helm there for the 49ers. So he found some type of magic there. But I don't see him giving up this job at his alma mater just yet. Next year is going to be critical for him and that staff and that program. He has to beat Ohio State next year. He has to. Write it down, take a picture, record it, whatever you have to do. He has to beat Ohio State next year, or all bets are off at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's an embarrassing situation for them when, especially you got a game like that at home, and you're winning in the beginning, and you're winning convincingly, and then all of a sudden it just falls apart, and Ohio State is capable of that.
How about minus six total yards in the first quarter for Ohio State?
Yeah, just amazing. Mm-hmm. And for them to go hot and cold within a game like that again, like they did with Penn State, I mean, they are really just the most fickle team I've ever seen. I mean, you just don't know from quarter to quarter, from down to down, what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And that was certainly the case against Michigan. How about this JT Barrett story about this? I mean,
did you see him reenacting it at the end of the game?
Yeah, he stood up in the press conference and like went through the blow by blow. It's amazing.
It was interesting. He needs to probably get into a theater class because I wasn't sold on the reenactment. And there are tight quarters there, as there are in a lot of collegiate stadiums. And so he was saying there was a cameraman trying to get between he and the Ohio State bench and nipped him somewhat and tweaked that knee then. He went out and played. And then he just, late in the ball game, he felt it again and he had to come out and didn't re-enter. Luckily for them, they had Dwayne Haskins who took over and he looked pretty well. Michigan couldn't stop him, nor could they stop J.K. Dobbins. And so Ohio State gets their 13th out of 14 victories versus their arch rival. But yeah, that's a surreal story. And then Urban Meyer is just a drama queen. Are we going to have a full investigation of what went on there and put out an APB on the camera? Really? Probably just a little freak accident.
Yeah, I would be. It would be an unbelievable story if that guy was paid by, you know, someone at Michigan or someone at Wisconsin to take out JT Barrett. I mean, that would be the most unbelievable story ever. But I just don't believe that, or even like a gambling situation.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that. But I just don't believe. I can't. If I start believing that stuff like that could happen, then it's that point that I don't think I could watch sports anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because is all the nonsense that goes on in sports, if I think that any bit of it, people are trying to fix stuff like that.
Nancy Kerrigan.
I know. It is. There is a precedent.
Tonya Harding was at the game.
Imagine that big, humongous dude with the crowbar or whatever that was.
Why?
That's what I'm going to be saying on this drive home. I got a couple of minutes to embark on the drive back to New York. I just really, really hope it goes smoothly. The drive here was fine. No big problems, but This will be the one.
Well, we'll be safe, man. Off.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, why don't you run by the airport and bring me some of those pancakes from Simon's restaurant?
I'm not going to go by the airport.
Dang, I would go for you.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
The hell out of here. Do anything like that. All right, thanks to Barrett Salah. Salou, Salim. Sarah. Mikey B, Petey Meats, Bogish, and Pierno. Enjoy your day. We'll be back tomorrow. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free at dirtylabs.com.